Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. We now turn to a difficult subject. A new report from the state's Child Fatality Task Force finds that while North Carolina's overall child death rate has been falling in recent years, youth suicides are at their highest rate ever. The report found that 52 North Carolina children ages 10 to 17 died by suicide last year. Recently, I got a chance to sit down and discuss the report's findings and recommendations, as well as some of the warning signs that parents should be on the lookout for, with Michelle Hughes, the executive director of the children's advocacy group, NC Child.
Well, Michelle Hughes, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Remind our listeners just quickly, NC Child, the organization you lead, the child advocacy organization for our state. Remind people a little bit about the work y'all do.
Sure. We are try to be the leading voice for kids in North Carolina. We are a multi-issue policy advocacy organization that fights for kids' health, their economic security, and their well-being overall.
We're going to talk today about a sobering topic, but an enormously important one, which is the issue of youth suicide. We know that the numbers are up, perhaps even at an all-time high. There was a report from the Child Fatality Task Force, which is a state group that y'all work closely with through the years, that had some disturbing new data on this phenomenon.
What we're seeing now is really reflective of a national trend. There is an alarming increase in the rate of young people who are taking their own lives. So last year in 2018, 52 youth died by suicide.
52 North Carolina
kids. Yeah, 52 North Carolina youth took their own lives. So that is a 40% increase over the past decade. So it is incredibly alarming. It's tragic, and it's completely preventable.
We know that guns play a big role in this, right? Quite frequently, that's the means that these kids are making use of.
That's right. About half of youth suicides are gun-related. And so youth can access guns sometimes in their own home, sometimes in a relative or friend's home. And one of the really sort of disturbing facts around this is about half of gun owners are not securely storing their guns. So again, completely preventable and very easy to prevent.
Let's talk about maybe what we should be doing about it. There was a bill, a suicide prevention bill, that's been introduced at the General Assembly several times. It's advanced at certain points, but it can't seem to get across the finish line. What, tell us about that legislation, what it would do, and what's the holdup?
This bill has passed the House five times. Right now, it is in the Senate. There has been a conference committee appointed the day before the legislature adjourned. Mm-hmm. So this bill, Senate Bill 476, is still a viable bill for when they come back to kind of get through conference and get it passed. What this bill would do is establish a suicide risk referral protocol and training for all school personnel in districts across the state for K through 12. So this would give teachers and school counselors and staff the sort of training they need to identify students who may be struggling with mental health issues, maybe thinking about taking in their own lives, getting those teachers the resources and the sort of standardized protocols to help kids get the resources that they need.
Any idea what the holdup is? Why would there, is this controversial in some way to be going after this issue?
No, I will say we're not really sure what the holdup is. We know that there have been tremendous House champions, Representative White, Representative Horn. So we really are hoping we can get it across the finish line as soon as possible before any more youth die.
We're talking with Michelle Hughes, the executive director of NC Child. I have a dear friend who just retired, actually, as a school counselor who was here in Wake County, and she was overwhelmed. It was increasingly an overwhelming job because we have such a dearth of school counselors. Is that a factor, you think? It seems as if there just aren't enough school counselors, psychologists, school nurses, the kinds of support personnel that might help our education system in identifying these kids and maybe intervening.
Yeah, North Carolina is significantly understaffed in terms of health and mental health personnel in our schools. With school nurses, for example, last year, school nurses provided over 8,000 counseling sessions to students who were struggling with mental health issues, and over 800 sessions for youth who were specifically thinking about ending their own lives. We have school nurses serving anywhere between 2 and 6 schools. So we are significantly far from the national recommended ratio. And that's not just for nurses. That's also for counselors, for school psychologists. This session did get around $20 million of recurring funding to support increased staff in those areas, but really is a drop in the bucket for what we need to make sure our schools are fully resourced to support our kids.
One would assume that another means of identifying children and perhaps intervening and preventing suicide would be if they get to interact with a healthcare provider, with a physician on a regular basis. And we know another disturbing trend in North Carolina, thanks to a recent report from the Georgetown Center, we talked to their director, Joan Alker, recently, is that we're actually going the wrong way on covering kids with health insurance in our state, right?
Right. And, you know, I think one of the concerning things about that is in a period of economic growth for our state, we should see kids gaining health care coverage. What we are seeing is sort of removing in the opposite direction. We have a significant increase in the number of children who have lost insurance. A lot of parents don't know the resources that are available. So because there's been so many attacks on the Affordable Care Act, a lot of families think that it no longer exists, that it's no longer a resource for them.
Right.
And when parents are enrolled and have health insurance, their children are much more likely to be insured.
Right. And conversely, when the parents are uninsured, they may not think about going to the doctor as much and the kids don't get covered. What about the issue of social media? Do we think this plays a role in suicides? I mean, it just seems like kind of a no-brainer. Bullying, maybe just a feeling of inadequacy, spending your days on social media. Are there indication that that plays a role in these rising numbers?
Yeah, it's one of the big cultural trends that we do think is contributing to the increase in youth suicides. There's emerging evidence that shows that obviously our young people are very socially connected, electronically connected. Kids that are heavy users of social media are more likely to exhibit anxiety and depression and therefore put them at greater risk for suicide. So we do feel like this sort of heavily connected generation of kids definitely is more at risk because of that.
What about kids of color? Are there any indications that we see breakdowns in the number of kids who are at risk of this, maybe who are children of color, maybe low income? Are there any of those kind of factors play a role?
Children of color are absolutely at high risk for suicide and depression. And it's sort of one of those things that is often surprising to people. Folks think often of white kids when they think of youth suicide.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But youth of color, absolutely at high risk for suicide as well.
You know, we have this health crisis right now across the country of opioids and opioid addiction. Do we think there's any connection there, maybe?
Well, I think family instability in general.
Mm-hmm.
So as we look at families struggling with issues of economic security, with substance abuse, that absolutely impacts kids' well-being and their mental health. And so absolutely, it could be a contributing factor.
You know, if there's a listener out there who's wondering about their own child, maybe, obviously we're not here to provide advice, but are there any kind of really obvious warning signs maybe they ought to be looking for? Or are there resources that perhaps to which they can turn if they have concerns about their own child or a family member or a neighbor?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of those signs that parents and caregivers want to look for are any kind of sudden changes in behavior. And really, I think one thing we always talk to parents about is sometimes we can be dismissive of adolescent mood changes and teenagers are moody. But if parents have a concern, they really should take it seriously. And so talking to their children, making sure their children know that they are open to listening and to hearing about their own experience, and then getting in touch with their pediatrician, talking to the school counselors. There's a lot of resources for parents, but parents really need to pay attention and listen to their own instincts.
Yeah. Are there any other priorities that NC Child's really championing here as we look perhaps to the end of the 2019 legislative session?
Sure. Our biggest number one priority is for North Carolina to pass Medicaid expansion. And this is, again, particularly concerning for children because about 100,000 parents are without insurance in North Carolina. Again, increasing the likelihood that our children are not insured and also increasing the likelihood that those parents cannot bring their best parenting selves because they themselves might be struggling with a chronic illness or a mental health issue and cannot access treatment. So by closing the coverage gap, expanding Medicaid, we are significantly helping kids in North Carolina.
We know that's what's happened in other states. It still remains a no-brainer, and we sure hope that the North Carolina General Assembly finally comes to its senses on this issue. Thank you so much for your advocacy on that issue, on all of these issues, and shining a light on these important matters. Again, folks, go to ncchild.org if you want to learn more about this important issue and all the other fine work that NC Child works on. Michelle Hughes, thanks for joining us. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Be sure to check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, it's Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.